Melissa in the Morning chats with career strategist and workplace expert, Julie Bauke. It's Julie on the Job, now on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
I understand that as we get older, maybe some of the ideas that we grew up with could become very archaic. For example, I still can't really comfortably talk about politics or even religion because all I hear in the back of my head is my Italian grandmother who says, it's so inappropriate, Melissa, to put that stuff out there. It's no one, you don't need to waste people's time with what you think, what you believe. If you are having an open conversation and you want to share what you believe in, okay, I guess. But don't just start having table conversations about these things. But now 30 plus years later, and God rest her soul, she's not with us anymore. That's really not the way of the world, Julie Bauke. But I want to talk about whether the risks are worth it for the people who especially post, whether it's on social media or they post, you know, banners in their workplaces. They put the bumper stickers on their car, whatever it is. Is it worth losing your job? And the timing of this is very interesting because Connecticut took center stage last week after a school teacher posted her thoughts on what she thought was a closed Snapchat group, but instead it got leaked to the public and now she's out of a job. In fact, she may never be able to be a teacher again because of this. So I wanted to get your perspective on the risks of sharing your political views and whether it's worth losing your job.
You know, when we talked about this topic a few minutes ago, it reminded me of someone that just a person I greatly respect that I know in the business world. And she had this acronym, WAIT. Why am I talking? And I thought that is brilliant because it spells wait, which is like, okay, stop. Why am I talking? Because she was working with people who just could not let others talk. And it was so I was like trying to think of like a snappy acronym, but why am I doing this? WAID as why am I doing this? Why am I saying this? Why am I typing this? What do I hope to get out of it? And we are, because of the immediacy of social media, we are so used to living in reactive mode. We see someone post something that, you know, we know to be untrue or we believe is harmful. And the temptation, you know, sometimes is to say, you know, I need to correct this person. I need to slap this person down. I need to, because our emotion takes the best of us. And there's enough of it. And we've talked about this in this case with this teacher in Cheshire. This case, she wasn't doing it in the workplace, but it affected her job and career. And that's the piece we need to be really aware of, is there are literally no boundaries. Anything you post, I know Snapchat is supposed to disappear after a certain amount of time, but that doesn't stop people from recording it, screenshotting it. They recognize you. They hear what you're saying. And it doesn't stop people from, you can still capture it. Mm-hmm. And so she found out the hard way that threatening people, and that's extreme, but let's just say making your views front and center of everything you do on social media is, you know, can be really harmful to your career. And if you hear me say that and say, I don't care, it is more important for me to have my views out there. You do you. I'm not saying don't do it.
You're like, you know, I can sleep at night. If you don't want to follow my advice, that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I think it's, you have to think about, it's so easy to sit behind a keyboard or on your phone, especially after you've had a glass of wine or, you know, a beer or two, to really let those filters fall and tell people exactly what you think. And so why am I doing this? Why am I talking? What do I hope? Am I trying to one-up this person? Am I trying to change their mind? Literally, posts on social media, I don't think I've ever changed anybody's mind.
Right. And so I mean, I love this acronym. For the record, I'm going to live by WAIT, W-A-I-T. I love that because I do think social media has taken away something very important that humans were given, which is two ears and one mouth. We don't, like, sit and ponder and think through things anymore. We just react, like you said, and we don't think of repercussions. And you know, what I also have noticed with these types of posts, whether you are amped about who you voted for, or you're not amped about, whoever, whatever. And it's, you know, and it was totally different 4 years ago. You know, the opposite, I'd say, demographics were doing the opposite thing that they are this year around. But whatever. My point is it feels like we also just have no self-control. So we don't have this sense of it's like, oh, well, I put. So according to this teacher, when I was watching the exclusive interview that was done on News 8, was she said, I was reacting. I was reacting to what people were saying, not to her personally, but just out there saying, oh, you know, women are losing their right, you know, whatever. Whatever jargon people are going to throw out there, which that's a whole different conversation. But I felt the need to respond to it. Why? I just don't think we realize that it's that you putting a story up there or a post or making people feel intimidated or judging people. I just don't understand. Like, just keep it either to yourself or if you're going to have a one-on-one conversation in person, do it that way. I just don't. Yeah. I don't see any gain in it. I don't understand it.
So if you've got, I mean, certainly now in the workplace, let's say you have a group of very like-minded coworkers. And you all go out to lunch or you meet up after work to talk about some political issue, to talk about the results of the election, fine. You know, I mean, you have to know your audience. You have to look around and say, okay, let's say you look at it and you say, okay, so I go into work and there's a guy, the day after the election, a guy with Trump flags all over his office. And yeah, we did it and blah, blah, blah. And you're feeling raw because that's not how you voted or that's not what you wanted to happen. It feels, especially when you're raw, we feel like I can't let this jerk stand in this. And we feel like we're attacking him. Now all of a sudden it's escalated. Think of it this way. This is how I think about it. Anybody who would take their workspace, let's say you are in an office, and pepper it with political flags, either side, is really looking for a reaction.
You're looking
for
a fight.
Think,
yes.
And I don't think that's the right. I don't think whoever does that, I think that's wrong. Don't do that in your workplace. Because what it does is we were split close to 50-50. And some of the people on the other side who see how you behave, on the other side of wherever you are, who see how you behave, may or probably do have impact over your career. And again, it's my favorite word. It's the J word. You're showing poor judgment by bringing incendiary political conversations into the workplace. You are showing poor judgment. Even if I agree with you, even if you and I have the same belief, and I see you in my workplace just like, you know, woo-wooing it all over the place because our side won, I'm looking at that and it's like facepalm. I'm like, you stop that. You are making such a fool of yourself. This is the wrong place to do it. And even if I, who might agree with you, have an opportunity to put you on an exciting project with a really, really delicate or sensitive customer, you know, I don't know. What are you going to do? Are you going to walk in and start doing that at their workplace? And so again, it gets to stop and think.
That's just it, Julie. It's become almost, I mean, dare I say, it's certainly, you know, it has a lot more weight. I want to make sure people are very clear. I'm certainly not comparing this to baseball. But to me, the way that the country is reacting, not just this election, but 4 years ago, to me reminds me of the late 90s, early 2000s, being a Yankee fan going up against the Red Sox. I mean, that's really what it reminds me a lot of. And quite frankly, it wasn't acceptable for us to go and get into the faces of the many Red Sox fans I went to school with, nor was it acceptable the other side around for kids to be mean to us when the Red Sox came back and, you know, beat us after we were up 3-0. But that's a whole different thing. But you know what I'm saying? Like, that same sort of, I think, energy has all of a sudden become a normal way of acting with politics. And it's bizarre to feel it in the workplace. You know, like you had mentioned the cubicle situation. You don't know how people voted. I know that a lot of teachers, certainly, it seems like in Connecticut, and Connecticut is a blue state, but a lot of teachers were very upset with the election results. Fine. And I think it's understandable. But there are also teachers who now have said to me that they don't feel comfortable going into the teacher's lounge mm-hmm. because they didn't vote that way. They're not Trump supporters, mm-hmm. but they did vote for Trump. And they don't feel comfortable. They're like, and they have to pretend they're this different person because they don't want to be ousted or they don't want to be on the chopping block or whatever. And it, just making that assumption of we're all on the same page or whatever, I don't think that, like you said, is healthy, regardless of if you're with them or you're not. I think you're creating also a bad atmosphere of just working together, you know, team building. Yeah. That's causing division.
You know, gloating is a really, really ugly, ugly thing to do, regardless of what the topic.
So we have a couple more minutes with our career strategist, Julie Baalke, and we're talking about what is really the goal of posting politically or showing your political views at the workplace. You had mentioned before, Julie, that a lot of times these offenses are actually not happening per se in the workplace. It's happening outside of it, so on your personal accounts. So do you believe that people should still be mindful, even if they're on their personal Instagram or Facebook or TikTok account? So they're not on the company's account, they're not on, you know, anything that would tie them back to it, but they're on their personal ones and the general public can still see your opinions.
Yeah, and to use a very old analogy or reference, I will butcher this, but it's something like, I mean, don't post anything that you wouldn't want to see on the front page of the newspaper. Mm. You know, think about, are there people who, if they see this, it's going to cause a problem for me or them? Who's going? And so you have to take yourself from behind the screen. And with everything I post, I think about it. I think, okay, you know, is this something that is, you know, how would I feel if everybody in my life who I care about saw this? And I actually have built a pause in, and I'm not the type to get out there and keyboard, you know, go keyboard crazy anyway. But I always think about, who's my audience? How does this connect with how I want to be seen in the world? If you want to be seen as an aggressive a-hole, have at it. You know, but I do think we all get a choice in terms of how we want to be seen in the world. And if you are a small business owner, if you even if you're not a small business owner, and you have to think about it if you're a small business owner, but if you work for an organization, everything you post, especially if it can be traced back to you, and almost everything can. I mean, we see people getting called out constantly on TikTok for saying really, really horrible things. And then these sleuths go and find their boss or their spouse and send it to them, and they lose their job. So there's an awful lot of, I don't know, there's just an awful lot of ugliness. And you need to decide, is this where I want to be and how I want to be and why am I doing this? Why am I talking? Before everything you post. And it can really hurt not only your reputation, but your relationships and your livelihood and your career growth. And if it's worth putting all that out there to you, then you know, who am I to say don't do it? But
right.
You know, it's cringy.
It feels like, Julie, there's a difference between having just decorum and and actually standing up for something. So if you had a company, let's just say that, you know, was against women's rights, you know, like, let's just say they may, you know, whatever. And then you felt that, hey, you know what? It's worth the risk because I don't want to be part of a company that represents this. That is different. I feel like that's different versus when you are just spouting off, regardless of which side you're on, whether you're, like you said, gloating, which is, I think, just as unattractive as rage. Very different, but they're, you know, just as unattractive, I think, for the person. I just think you have to look at the end game. What is the point? Like you said, wait, what is the point of what I'm talking about right now? Is it just to say I'm adding to the conversation? Or is there really significant value versus risk? And a lot of the times, it's just risk, not even just for your workplace, but I think even personally. I mean, people are ending friendships. People aren't showing up to Thanksgiving this year because they know where their family stands and they feel like they don't know how to talk to them. That's sad. I think that's very sad. And it doesn't need to be to that level. It's just not, it's not necessary.
Yeah. And I have some friends that are very much 180 degrees from me politically. But I will tell you that we just don't talk politics.
Exactly.
You know, we just don't. There's so many other things to talk about.
Same.
And, yeah, I mean, some people might call that chicken, like, oh, you know, you've got to be well, I do think it's how I show up.
Right. And I think it's the same thing, like I said, with religion. I mean, I am a devout child of God, but there are people who I know are atheists or they don't believe in it. We don't talk about it. I mean, it's just, and that's okay. I think that we need to start treating politics the way we do with other personal beliefs. I mean, just because people don't align with you does not mean they're not good people or that you can't spend time with them. I have plenty of friends who do not believe in God. That doesn't, to me, mean that they're a bad person. We don't have to believe in the same thing. So why do we treat politics so differently? That I really don't understand. I don't get that.
You know, this is so different than an election between George Bush and, you know, I forget who he ran against, sorry. But, you know, this is different. I mean, there are a lot of different values. There are values differences at play here and priorities differences at play here. And so this is a much more incendiary time than it was, you know, 10, 15 years ago.
Sure.
And so some people are saying, if you voted for this person, our values, you are voting against something that hurt. You're voting for something
that I gotta say, Julie, I think people are making that decision. Right. But I also think that that is, to me, there also are families that, again, like they, you know, I think you could say that for anything. Religion. I think you could say that for education. I mean, I think you could say that for so many different things. The way people spend money. I mean, I think that we've just put such a spotlight on politics and we've normalized so much that it's okay to just share your mind. And that's totally acceptable socially. And I think that it's, I just feel like people are shooting themselves in the foot more than they need to.
Maybe,
I was going to say, unfortunately, Julie, I've totally run out of time. I'm getting, I'm getting the signal from Eric. I'm so sorry, but
Eric, such a buzzkill.
I'm glad we got to start the conversation though, Julie. Thank you so much.